Yeah, there's another one. Okay, boy, these want ads. There's a couple of jobs I can look for here, and I think I... Oh, we're back to podcast time. I was just checking out a few other opportunities in the employment field because, well, let's just cut to it. What we wanted to talk about today was actually the governor's state of the state, and the reason I thought I better start looking for a job is when the governor announced that she's going to seek authority for the superintendent of public instruction to close failing schools. And I told my wife that night, as a matter of fact, that not only do I need probably a new job, but if that were to happen, the most we could do is stay around for about a year, and then we'd probably have to move out of the state. Let me be serious about that for a minute. This has come up from the Senate had a bill related to this a while back, and I think it's in the good spirit that the governor has, which is there's a point that we're going to get to where if a school goes through all the remedies that we offer at the Department of Ed and with the ISD's work, and then most importantly with what teachers and administrators, principals are doing in their own school, that it just can't turn around no matter what all these interventions are. Turnaround teams, audits, coaching. Then there's a point under No Child Left Behind where it calls for the closing of a school, and that needs to be clear in our law here in the state. No Child Left Behind is federal law. We need to align it with the state. And honestly, I think what we would do in the department is we would make sure that every avenue available would be taken first. But in the final analysis, I think the spirit is this. When the governor said that, it makes you realize that if we wouldn't send our own kids to a school, we shouldn't send anyone to that school. And that would be the reason if we got to that kind of end game. But I think there's a lot of hope if you look at the rest of the speech that would keep us from ever getting to that stage. For example, there's the 21st Century Schools Fund. What a great idea to repurpose what was called the Durant money. That the governor now would say, and the legislature would hopefully approve, that this stream of money, which would securitize, I think, about $300 million worth of funding, would take what we call, and what she has called, a small school initiative. But what it's really doing is it's trying to say, how do we increase the chances that this school can succeed? And in order to qualify, they have to be 2 years of so-called not making AYP, which is the federal standard. It means they're in trouble. They'd have to be, I think it's over 800 kids in size. And then the whole idea is to try to create smaller, more personal places where kids can be understood, where you can have relationships. We've already got rigor. We're providing relevance, particularly with career tech, and now we need to build these relationships in a school that when a young student's having a bad day, there's an adult that would recognize that. And half of this about student achievement is not just the rigor, it's about people being motivated to want to do better. And that has a lot to do with their relationships with adults in a school. And smaller schools, hands down, on its own merit alone, will help reduce the dropout rate in these large mega schools. But certainly the team, the bipartisan team that got together that the governor asked me to kind of facilitate of legislators from both the Republican side and the Democratic side, of association leaders, when they helped the governor form this plan, it was more than just small schools. And it has to do with really being innovative and funding these things with that funding stream so they don't get to that last step, that step of having to be closed. So I have a lot of hope for that fund, and I think it's going to be a real answer to our dropout rate that's very significant, particularly in some of our larger schools, particularly in schools where there's a lot of urban and rural poverty. These schools, by the way, beyond just being small, are going to be innovative schools. They probably tie in with our early colleges and other things that we've already talked about in past podcasts. You know, the early college at Henry Ford Hospital, where Henry Ford Community College and Dearborn Schools have worked together to build a place that kids in 5 years are going to be able to get both a high school diploma and a community college degree. And if you saw the state of the state, the governor cited a 14-year-old young man who's in that program now, And he's already guaranteed a $50,000 job as a respiratory therapist when he gets out. He's going to be 19. This is great for our state. It's great for these young people. It's putting them into trained areas where they can actually get jobs where they when they get out. And there's so much opportunity with these innovative schools under the 21st Century Schools Fund that I just hope the legislature, and I know the state board is interested in this thematic approach, and that we can really make a difference. Those are the highlights. There's some other things that need to be done. And two of them almost defy common sense in a way, if you think about it. Because the average person probably doesn't know that we don't require kindergarten. So we've got to get to the point where that's required. It'll make a gigantic difference in student achievement, and it needs to be full day. That full day kindergarten has proven to be such a head start for kids beyond any preschool they may have. As important as preschool is, that they also have an enriched kindergarten experience that really sets them up for success in school. That needs to be done by the legislature. The governor called for it at the State of the State, and we certainly support it here at the State Board Department of Ed facility. And then the other one that just kind of defies logic, I know there's some arguments against it, but it's raising the dropout age to 18. I mean, we certainly send a symbolic message, if nothing else, to young people that you can leave when you're 16. You don't need any skills in order to make it in this new world. If we're not clear about what we expect, and we expect kids to be there till 18. And we believe that with these relevant schools, with these small schools, we can create places where all kids are going to succeed and they'll want to be there. And will we still have some truancy as we've had all along? There'll probably be some of that. But there's a lot of research to support that when you give kids a clear understanding of what they need, in this case, the rigor, the high school requirements that are going to situate them with the right training. And if you give them an environment that's relevant, that you can learn algebra in a construction trades course. And then just as importantly, you help them be in a place where they're human beings and they're treated individually, and the guidance counselor knows them with some depth. You're going to have places that succeed. You're going to have kids that succeed. The dropout rate is going to reduce dramatically. And we're going to be a nation, in this case, we're going to be a state first, that's really going to change the whole dynamic for the rest of the nation. So we wanted to give you a little summary today of the state of the state. I know you were all glued to your PBS station that night to watch it live. But those are some of the highlights that we think are really well thought out. We support fully and hope you will too. So for now, we'll see you next month, unless one of these jobs comes through. I'm actually just kidding. You know, I'm excited about the opportunity here in the department, and thanks for everything you do, particularly those of you who work in the field of education, but thanks to all the rest of the citizens for anything you can do to contribute to our kids.